Bernardo Perticala, many of you already know Bernardo. Bernardo is the research scientist of engineering at Prairie Swine Center. So he leads the program. So if I look at his goals are to address environmental sustainability issues associated with swine production and optimize the physical environment in swine production facilities for two reasons, one to enhance performance and one to reduce cost. So basically, Bernardo's presentation is entitled Improving Your Facility's Operational Efficiency. And this is an important and timely topic, largely based off of utilities, is about the third, depending on your setup, it's either the third or second highest line item in cost of production, feed being one, labor being two, utilities being three. And as we all know, like the carbon tax gets added to things come Friday. So these costs continue to increase. So with that, take it away, Bernardo.
Thanks, Ken. So you see my screen?
Slide? Yeah, we're good.
Okay. So thank you, everyone, for spending your lunch hour with us. Good afternoon, good morning to some, maybe. So let me. Okay. So the outline presentation, we'll some introductory comments and background for this, and then we'll just go directly to the strategies and tips for improving barn operational efficiencies. And we'll be looking mostly as energy use and reducing utilities costs. And then the second part, or just a brief, going briefly over projects that we've done at TSC that related to this topic. So we've done some benchmarking on energy use and heating and ventilation studies, as well as reducing water use. So I throw this up there because this used as a context. When we started working on energy use and efficiency, it was way back in 2008. And as you can see from this graph, you know what happened? That's when the spike in the price of crude oil happened back then. And then that's why I put this up there, because it seems that the trend right now is going that way again. Currently, I think it's I checked yesterday, it's $110 US dollars per barrel yesterday. So it seems to be on the way up again. So usually when that happens, then everyone's looking for ways to reduce energy use and eventually the utilities costs in the barn. So I think it's timely, as Ken mentioned, that we look at this again. So the main approach for improving efficiency is basically just reduce consumption and reduce wastage, and still be able to come up with the same output by doing so. So, and then there are lots of areas in the barn that were using utilities like electricity, gas, and water, and listed under there, the fans, heat lamps, motors, etc., utilizing electricity, whereas gas is used for fuels, for our space heaters, our boilers, water heaters, and water, of course, used for drinking and washing, cleaning, and then other areas in the barn, like our showers, our laundry, etc. We're not be able to cover everything today, but we'll just focus on those ones that's where these utilities are used the most and where there'll be opportunities for reducing them further. So as mentioned, heating is one of the big things, especially in cold climates like the of course, Canada, and some depending on the weather or climate. So we can have to as much as 70% of energy use in the barn is for heating. So that makes it really important that we size and select and operate those equipment as best as possible to reduce the use of energy for heating. And there are different types, and our most commonly used for providing supplemental heater is this, you're familiar with the forced convection heaters, the LB whites out there, and it's widely used in many farms. And there's the sub-characteristics there, and that's, it's widely used because it's simple, and then it's actually effective and cheap. But there's also some downside to that, and we'll go into that a little bit later. There are other options as well. So radiant heaters have been used as well. And because they're heating the surfaces and not the air in the barn, So you can be able to reduce the heater capacity by as much as 20%. So that's a good thing. And then there's also some bars that have floor heating. Of course, it's not feasible in all areas, but and this has been put to good use and created the desired environment in those areas in the barn. But this requires precise control and higher skills to be able to do it, make it well, and a higher initial investment as well. So in terms of equipment and building maintenance, so the components of the heating and ventilation system, so we have the fans, shutters, windows, etc. So in all the, when we put in these components, they're at the optimum best performance when they're new. Right, of course, and they're new, and then of course they require to be, assuming it's well designed, it's properly signed, properly sized, then they're at the best performance and you don't waste a lot of energy, things like that. But as soon as you start using them, of course, then you, it's not like some other equipment that gets better as you use them. This one actually gets, of course, gets worse, and then you're dirty, you have becomes dirty, the efficiency of the motors are becomes slower. So, and has been quantified already by many studies out there that having dirty fans can reduce the output by 10%, and then shutters 20%, and other factors. So here and there, then you suddenly add up to a reduction of 30 to 40% in the capacity, but you still require that airflow. So that means your use, you have to use more energy to be able to deliver that required airflow, right? So that's where we need to do some of those equipment and building maintenance. So other things also, the air inlets, like you have shown in the picture, the clog or frozen, so not only in the inside, but also on the outside, the soffits where the air enters the building. This contributes to increasing the static pressure, and that's a measure of resistance to the airflow. And then that translates as well to requiring more energy to be able to provide the airflow that require. So other thing too is building insulation and sealing all leakage around the building. Because inevitably over time, this insulation will deteriorate. So either to rodents or moisture buildup, or they just basically over time they settle. So the thickness of your insulation, especially in the walls or in the attic, is not what it's originally as designed. So this the insulation capacity is reduced, and we have a slide on that later. So one thing is also is improperly sealed doors, especially if you're going to the outside. One of those could be equivalent to just having a hole in the wall, as much as opening 8-inch hole if it's not sealed properly, so where air can get in and out of the barn. So one thing is also a big thing is ventilation management. So for us, operators of the barn, so what we do mostly is to manage the set points. Okay, so in this study here, it's been calculated if for a 200 head finishing room, what happens if you don't set the temperature, the set points properly, set is off by 10% above what's required for moisture removal, right? So this calculation showed that it could be back then in 2004 energy costs, it's only about $1 per pig marketed that you're wasting, right? But if you calculate that based on the current cost of electricity at 0.12, dollars per kilowatt hour, then that's now equivalent to $4 per pig marketed, right? And then if, as Ken mentioned, if you add the carbon tax, which is coming in effect on Friday, then you're looking at $4.25 per pig that you're losing just because you're not setting the set point properly. So bottom line is proper set points can really contribute significantly to reduction in energy costs from ventilation. So this one is pertaining to insulation. So again, we're looking at this model of 200 head grout finish room with these conditions, outside conditions of minus 19, and we're trying to maintain 18 degrees C inside. And the insulation right now is R20 for the walls and R30 for the ceiling. It could be higher, but to maintain the desired condition in the room, under those conditions with the insulation at 100%, then you require about $288 per month. But if we don't maintain the insulation and let them lose its value, insulation value, by let's say 30%, then you're wasting, or you need additional 17% more energy just to maintain the conditions that you want. And if you really do a good, a bad job of maintaining the insulation, then you could be up to 29% if this lost 50% of its insulation value. So proper insulation and maintenance of the building envelope itself can actually reduce heating costs in the long run. So threw this out there because heat lamps have been one of those things that actually use a lot of energy in the farming. And there's been some incentive programs that encourage the use of the switching to heat mats or heat pads because they actually use less energy. So this gives us some numbers of what are the actual costs if you're using heat lamps. So it's about $64 per crate per year. So this basing on those numbers of the cost of electricity back then. But using switching to heat pad, which utilizes about 70% less electricity, then we're saving this much, or so much as $60 per crate per year, right? So that's factoring in the savings for from the energy, as well as for less the cost of lamp replacement. So using that calculation and factoring in the cost of the heat pad itself installation, then with the cost of $150 per crate, then you can have a payback period for installing this of 2.5 years. But then if you are avail of any available incentive programs there, then it could be just a little bit over a year or so, then you can recover the investment for switching to heat pads. So lighting is one of those low-hanging fruits. It's been very common. I mean, our reference is the incandescent bulbs because they're the least efficient, but at some time in the past is the most widely used. And then, but then came other lighting technologies, compact fluorescence, T8 and T5, which are much better in terms of efficiency, and also they last longer. And nowadays, of course, we have LED lights, and then this is coming from BC Hydro, their calculations. With respect to incandescent, which is considered as a traditional technology, then LED is reduced, has about 84% less annual energy cost, right? That's compared to incandescent. But compared to CFL, it's about 40% less energy cost. So LED is the way to go. And of course, it lasts much longer than the other types of lighting. So water use, also one other utility that we looked at. Flow rates, you know, has been contributed significantly to the water wastage. And then the study actually that looked at the actual flow rates in Naples and different barns, as much as 20 to 70% of them are set at flow rates that exceeds the recommendations. And this directly contributes to additional volume for the manure slurry. And with additional volume slurry, then due to as much as 40% of the water in the water nipple is wasted, then this translates to about 70 cents per pig and additional cost for hauling or managing the slurry. It's been shown also that wet dry feeders can contribute to savings of 34% or avoiding wasted water. So some additional tips out there that's been done, it's been out there, just simple painting the roof white and then making sure that there's adequate insulation in the attic can can reduce the solar radiation coming, this especially during the summer, as much as 30%. And this translates to as much as 3 degrees reduction in internal barn temperature. And this alone would probably be of interest as we go through hotter and hotter summers due to climate change. And then we have to make sure that solar insulation, solar radiation that contributes to heating barns during summer is reduced by making one simple thing is just painting the roof white and ensuring insulation is good. It's also been documented that that's doing the ventilation maintenance, like cleaning fan blades, shutters, adjusting belts and inlets, can actually increase ventilation efficiency. That means more frequent if you're doing, let's say, twice a year. If you do it three times a year, then you can benefit by increasing the ventilation efficiency, which again, as in previous calculations, can contribute to reducing energy costs for ventilation. Work by Mike Brum, worked a lot on settings for heaters. He's shown that by just reducing the offset temperature, that's the offset is the temperature at which the furnace, your heater, turns on. If you reduce that by 0.5 degrees Fahrenheit below the set point, let's say from 1 to 1.5, then that translates to savings as much as 3.75 gallons per furnace per day. So if you apply that with so many furnaces in your barn over the long winter season that you're using the heating, then it could be significant reduction in energy costs. And also making sure that your fans have discharge cones out there outside, because that contributes to higher efficiency for the farm, for the fan in delivering the airflow that's required, as much as 26%. So in summary, it looks like energy prices will may continue to rise. So the need for increasing energy use efficiency and reducing consumption is still there. And we've seen that there's a wide range in utility costs depending on barn to barn, and we'll go to that a little bit more in the next slides. And heat pads have been shown that can actually can reduce energy use with no adverse impact on performance of the pigs. And managing ventilation by making sure that settings are correct can potentially avoid save energy costs by as much as $4 per pig. And then making sure that your drinkers are set properly can save about 70 cents per pig. And actually, insulation maintenance of buildings also contribute to significantly reducing heating costs. So that's part on the tips and strategies on improving operational efficiency in, on the pig barn by trying to reduce energy use and improving efficiencies. So the second part will be touching on briefly on the projects that we've done at the swine center. So as mentioned, we've done some studies back in 2008, and as Ken already mentioned that utilities is came out at that time as the third largest cost component. So utilities being again electricity, gas, and water. So just there at the bottom for a typical 600 sow farm to finish barn with prices at existing prices back then 2008. So the both electricity and natural gas bill could be upwards of 100,000 per year. So that's a lot of, that's a big cost for utilities and a lot of opportunity for reducing that. So in this study, we've actually surveyed 28 swine facilities in Saskatchewan of different types, farm to finish, nursery, et cetera. And we look at data over 3 years on their energy bills and then correlate that with animal production numbers. And these are the results. So for different types, so there's the range for farm to finish, 3.5 to $12 per pig sold. And the average, and what's interesting here is you can see that the lower, of course, that means it's they can do efficient, they're efficient in keeping down their utilities costs. Whereas those that are not so efficient is as much as four times their utilities costs. So that means it can be done, by dose efficient, and there's a lot of opportunities for those that are with high utilities costs right now for improving to be able to drive down their utilities costs, just looking at this range. So, and they actually went into selected barns from those, so barn A, B, C, and D, and then did our energy audits, measured, identified the different equipments and how much they're using. And it's shown here that exhaust fans or across the board are the ones that where electricity has been used the most. So this guided us on the next steps of which what can be done, what measures can be developed in order to reduce this cost. So one of the things that we look at is installing a heat recovery ventilator. So it's heat exchangers. Basically, after you introduce heat into the air in the barn, so eventually it comes out through the exhaust. So this device here or equipment tries to recover that heat so that you don't waste that heat that you already spent on putting it into your barn. So that's installed here in the barn, and actually basically replaces the minimum ventilation fan. So and parallel to that work, we also conducted a survey for water use. And again, we surveyed many barns. And we found out that many barns do not even monitor water usage, right? And most of the costs, so the range is there, is mainly the cost of supplying water. And many barns don't even pay for the water itself. This just the cost that they incur is for operating the well, the pump. Right, so that's electricity. So, and then we try to look out at where in the barn the usage of water is. So as shown here, as much as 80% is used for animal drinking. And then some barns have cooling systems and the rest is for cleaning. So again, we look at what can be done in this area. So because drinking is the big area, so we look at different drinkers. Right, so the first one there is the conventional nipple drinker, widely used in many barns. And one option that we did there is you just put side panels to these nipple drinkers, because we've observed that when pigs are coming at the drinker from the side, then they waste a lot of water, right? Because they're just basically just playing with the water from the side. So having a panel on the side panels forces them to go to the drinker going from the front or coming from the front. So another one that's we looked at is the trough, a drinking trough with a device that allows that maintains constant water level in the trough. We also look at different types of nozzles for cleaning, because cleaning is another area where water is used a lot. So we looked at, of course, our conventional nozzle that's widely used right now, and the other nozzles that are either available commercially or used in other industries. So like a water broom, a Y nozzle, and a 4-in-1 nozzle that's shown there. So quickly now, so the results. So for this is for the drinkers. So we've shown that the trough with the side panel is actually the one that's most efficient in reducing water wastage. Right, so that of course that translates to savings, and not only in the amount of water, but also in the amount of the slurry that end up in below the pits. So in the testing for the nozzles, so shown here the conventional nozzle that we're using right now turns out to be the best. So the least water consumed and the least amount of time needed in order to complete the order to do a proper washing. So we've done some analysis in cost. So as I confirmed there, the trough, drinking trough with side panel as the least cost. We consider the capital cost, labor, the cost of water, and the cost of handling the manure. And then the same for the types of nozzles that we look at. So it's the conventional nozzle. So we've tested this both in types of floors that are fully slotted as well as in partially slotted. So the conventional nozzle actually has the least cost. So again, just for cost comparison, references the current conventional practice. And then we are able to save as much as $9 per pig associated with water use. So in summary, the heat recovery ventilator that we tested can potentially save up to 54% relative to the conventional forced convection heaters. And the drinking trough has showed this as much as $9 per pig in savings in water and slurry costs. So this last one that I go over is one study that we look at the low temperature housing for sow. So in this one, we try to determine what will be the preferred temperature by sows if they're allowed to select their temperature settings. And of course, assess energy savings from doing that. So in this study, we set up a room with the sows and group housing. And then the conventional way is, of course, the manager presets the temperature in the room, right? And then in another room, we set up something like this shown here, a heat control switch that the sows themselves can manipulate if they feel cold. So their sows are so smart that in about a day or two, they are able to learn that by pressing this switch that you see here, then they can get warm. So we have a local heat lamp there that when the sow presses the switch, then it gets warm, but it also activates the heater for the room. So after a day or two, they're trained or they learn to do that very quickly. So this is the results for the preset room, where of course it's manually set by the manager or the operator of the room. Then it's this temperature distribution. Whereas for the sow, where the room where the sow controls the switch, then the temperature is this, it's about 5 degrees lower than the preset room. And of course that translates to significant savings in terms of the natural gas, as much as more than 74%. Right? And also the savings in electricity for running the fans associated with the heaters. So in conclusion, this operant mechanism allows the sow to maintain their environment at their preferred temperature, and it's about 5 degrees lower than the preset in the preset room. It's leading to about 78% reduction in energy consumption. So, but this requires a long-term monitoring for to assess the impact on the sow performance. I haven't seen any adverse impact, but we want to do this over a longer period. So that concludes my presentation. I'd like to acknowledge the different funding agencies that provide support to our work at Price Line Center, and thank you for your attention.
Super, thanks Bernardo. Like I mentioned earlier, for any of those in attendance that have any questions, you can just unmute yourself and ask away, or if so, just type a question into the chat function and we can answer it that way as well. So I do have two questions for you, Bernardo. So on the operant mechanism, you said it's 5 degrees cooler. Is there any impact on season on that, or that's average over the course of the year?
This is only during the heating season. So I think we've monitored this over 6 or 8 weeks over the winter, right? So that's why we haven't, of course, we don't need heating over the summer, right?
Okay. And my second question, and you might have to pull out of the memory banks a little bit, it's on that survey. There's quite a wide range of utility costs amongst operations. Is there anything tied to that on age of facility, i.e. are older facilities more energy inefficient than newer facilities? I would assume so, but did you see any of that in the data?
Yeah, I think if I remember right, I think that's correct. Right? So the older facilities will, of course, those on the category where they use more energy, while the newer ones, of course, have more newer equipment and presumably newer technology, then they can be actually more efficient in the use of their use energy.
Okay. Does anybody else have any questions? Just like I said, unmute yourself or throw the question into chat. And I'll just, as people are thinking, I'll ask you one more follow-up question to that survey stuff. So for the older facilities, what are those two or three things that they should start looking at, right? Because if I look at the infrastructure, the industry, a lot of the infrastructure is built in the late 90s, early 2000s. So the barn's, 25, 30 years old now. Where should people start if you have a 25-year-old facility?
Well, just looking at where the breakdown of the higher energy uses are, or utilities costs are, then you have the heating and then you have the ventilation. So maintenance is what we should be looking at and doing it more diligently or probably more frequently than a newer one, right? So not only the heaters, but also the fans and motors. And then also the other thing is the insulation, right? So I'm not sure if everybody looks at their check on their insulation regularly or as frequently as they need to, but with this calculation, with the numbers that we've shown, that actually has a big impact on the total energy use. And again, anticipating that from now on we'll be probably having warmer and warmer summers, making sure that the building actually has good insulation actually helps in preventing added heating due to the sun. And because with added heating, then that means that the fans have to run fast more in order to cool the barn internal environment. So that's of course translate to more electricity.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good point, because I default to heating, i.e. being winter, and don't think it would in summer very much at all, but it's the inverse basically of it, overheating versus under. Yeah.
Miranda has a question.
I do. Yes. I think it's really interesting to see that if cells get a choice in their temperature, that it ends up 5 degrees lower than what we set it. And I'm just kind of curious if you think it's because that's actually their preference, or if it's just because they're like kind of lazy and they don't feel like going and, you know, like increasing the temperature, and they may just huddle more. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, we've done this in two stages. First, we've done it in small room, right? The small chamber with, I think, 4 sows only. So the switch is right there in front of them. We actually, that's why we have 2 switches. One is the real switch, the other one is the dummy switch. It doesn't do anything, but they just play with it and do with it. Even with that closed setting, and they interact with the switch more frequently than in the big room, they actually press the switch when they feel cold. So I guess it's just because of laziness or just because of curiosity that they're doing they're interacting with the switch. It's actually, I would say it's when they feel cold. One thing though is not all sows in the room study, not all sows go up and press the switch. There's just probably 3 or 4 that's probably always feeling cold that's pressing the switch. Well, the others, yeah, maybe the others are lazy, just rely on the others to, yeah, just press the switch for me. Okay, because I'm also feeling cold.
We do have a question in the chat from Miles.
Challenging the station air temperature set point is in terms of firing room. That's actually one of the things that I'd like to gather today. More inputs on where do you see this work on the operant or challenging and temperature set points should go. We just did it in the south. Should we do it also on the grow finish? I can mention somebody has done this already with piglets. And yeah, I think it's high time that we should do that, because when these set points were set, I don't know, some decades ago, we have different genetics, we have different the different physiology of the animals now compared to what we have been in the past. So I think, yeah, it's high time that we revisit whether the set points that we're using now are still appropriate. And I agree with you, Miles.
Okay, well, maybe give another minute or two here for questions if anybody has a last thought or last question for Bernardo. One more or two more popped up, or one more popped up on the chat, Bernardo.
Yeah, it's Miles again. Said you agree.
There's one from Jackson as well. It says, generally speaking, how often should...
That's a good question, right? I think it depends on how well you maintain it in the first place, right? As I mentioned, if you start with the new and then you keep it good and well maintained, then of course you can use it as long as it's still functioning well. But of course, when equipment are not well maintained and starts not performing well, then you have to decide whether it's worth keeping it or you should bring in a new one. So I think it will depend on the facility and the way it's been used and the way it's currently performing now. Yeah, and yeah, the root, there are more efficient equipment right now, and hopefully there will be more programs, incentive programs that will actually help or encourage people to switch and upgrade to a more efficient equipment.
Okay, perfect. Well, maybe for the sake of time, what we'll do is I know we're intervening with people's lunch hour. So what we'll do is maybe pause the questions there. But likewise, if anybody has any questions for Kendall or Bernardo, just get a hold of me and I'll get a hold of the speaker and relay the answers to them. So that'll wrap up today's session. But before you go, just a reminder, we do have another producer meeting scheduled for 2 weeks from today on Wednesday, April 13th. Topics are optimizing health management costs with a focused approach to disease prevention and control. And that speaker will be Blaine Tully, many of you who already know. And the second presentation will be Good Welfare Makes Sense. And that'll be Jennifer Brown, who's our research scientist at Ethology. So with that, once again, once the sessions this morning are being recorded, when we get those online, we'll send everybody an email reminder that you can download the PowerPoint to be able to review the webinar this morning as well. So with that, thanks everybody, and see everybody in 2 weeks' time. Take care.